Session number 17544, Reel 1.
Mr. Barrett, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Yeah, I was born in Burma. Yeah.
Whereabouts in Burma?
Mamio.
Which year was this?
1927, yeah.
Were your parents born in Burma?
Yes.
And did you have your upbringing schooling,
yes.
In Mamio?
Yeah. Because my grandfather was in the army, like, you know.
And do you were you in Burma when the Japanese...
Oh, yes, interned. We was interned, yeah, by the Japanese.
What do you remember about the arrival of the Japanese, if anything?
I don't remember much, you know. Couldn't have been all that old, really.
You'd have been, what, 14?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Where were you interned?
You know, I forget the name of the village now. Somewhere. Can't remember that far, you know.
Is it near Mamio?
Oh, no, it's up north, further north, yeah.
About how many miles from Mamio was it?
Oh, quite a good way. Because we were on the Indian border when we got caught, you know.
Can you describe how you got caught?
Well, the Japanese just come in and stopped us, you know. We were just about to go onto the Indian border and we saw the Japs coming, like, and they pulled us all back.
You mean you'd almost reached safety?
Yes, yeah.
How did they behave when they captured you?
Oh, very bad, yeah. Because especially my grandfather, you know, he had all the tattoos and that. And he kept pointing the bayonet at him and said, English, English. And from there they took us somewhere else and interned us all.
Did they ill-treat you?
Some of the people, yeah, you know. But being kids and not, you know, nobody used to bother much with us. It's only the older people, like the women and that, you know.
What ill treatment did you get?
We didn't get not for kids, like, you know. We didn't bother with the kids.
Did they take any notice of you at all?
Not really, no. It's only the elders, like, you know.
Did they ever give you any treats?
Treats? No, no way.
Or show any kindness to?
Not really, no. Always agitating us, like, you know.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, teasing us about different things about the British and English dogs and all that, you know.
Did you have enough food to eat?
Well, average, yeah.
What did it consist of?
Well, local food, like, you know, we couldn't get any decent food. Like rice and noodles and all that sort of thing.
Meat and fish?
Yeah, chicken and all that, you know.
Did you stay healthy?
Well, most of us did, but some of the older people didn't, you know. They started getting diseases and dying off, you know. Like yellow fever and things like that, malaria. That's what my granddad died of, yellow fever.
What about you? Did you get catching?
Oh, malaria, yeah, we got malaria in it, you know.
Had you had malaria before?
No,
you
were... No.
Did they have any drugs at all?
No drugs, no. Couldn't get any drugs. Because the older people just died off, you know. They got sick and they died.
Did any of your other relatives die?
Yeah, I lost my aunt, my granddad, a couple of uncles, and that, you know. They all died of diseases.
What diseases did the others die from?
Well, mostly malaria and yellow fever, you know.
Did you get any kind of schooling or instruction?
No, no schooling at all, not till after the war.
Were there many children in this camp?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, most of them were all ex-servicemen, you know, got caught. With their families and that.
Was it Japanese or some other nation who were in charge of you?
No, Japanese, yeah.
Not Koreans?
Oh, no, all Japanese, yeah.
Did you have to learn their language?
No, not really, no.
Which languages did you speak?
Only English or so.
Did you speak
Burmese
language?
No.
Did you ever think that you were going to be rescued, or did you despair?
Well, we knew eventually, you know, the British would come back, you know.
Why were you so confident?
Well, some of the grandadults, you say. Said they'll be back.
What was your opinion of the Japanese?
Terrible people, yeah. Torture, you know, for no reason at all. They hit you for nothing, no reason at all.
Did you get hurt?
No, they didn't bother much with the kids, you know, it's only the elders. Because they used to take them away to work on the roads or things like that, you know, like prisoners of war, right? And they used to bring them back in the evening.
Was there any chance?
They used to work on the railways and things like that, you know, all day long.
Was there any chance of escape?
No way, no. Where are you going to escape to?
Maybe you could take refuge in a village. Could you have taken refuge in a village?
No way. They'd probably tell the Japanese, because they'd get punished as well if they keep anybody in it.
So, was it a completely miserable time for you?
It was, yeah. Very miserable, yeah.
Was there any happiness at all in the camp?
No, well, not really, you know, because everybody was, didn't know what's going to happen next, you know, they might take us out and shoot us all, you know. We're just living in that fear all the time.
Was anybody executed?
Not to my knowledge, no, I can't remember.
Was there any Allied bombing nearby?
Oh, yes, once they started, you know. They started bombing, they used to come over where we was, because you had the planes coming over, and they used to bomb Rangoon and Mandalay and places like that, you know.
Was Mandalay the nearest town to you?
No, quite a good way.
What was your nearest town to the camp?
I forget, I can't think of the name now, because they've got funny names, you know.
What type of housing were you accommodated in?
Oh, just like mission huts, you know, made of galvanized things, like, you know. And some were made out of bamboo and all that, you know, and all fenced off.
Do you remember how you were liberated?
Yeah, by the Gurkhas, yeah. I remember the Gurkhas coming in, you know.
What was it like?
Oh, it was fantastic when I see them. I know we were sort of, I can remember we were playing somewhere, and I see these two people, you know, with a bush hat, the Gurkha hats. And they said, any Japanese? He said, no, I haven't seen any. But they all disappeared during the night, the Japs. There was not a soul there. And the British Army just walked through, like, through the village, and they going on to another town. We were surprised. There was not a soul there. It just vanished.
Did you ever see them again?
No. Never seen Jap after that.
Do you think that revenge would have been taken against them?
Well, by me personally?
By anybody?
I imagine so, oh yeah.
Would you have taken revenge?
Well, I was I was only a kid, like, you know, so I didn't know much. Well, I suppose most of the army blokes would have done, if they caught a few of them, you know.
Had you had any radio in the camp?
Nah, no way. If you had one of them, you'd get the head chopped off.
Did the Japanese speak to you about the war?
Well, I can't remember all that much, you know. I said I was more concerned about the elder people than the kids, like.
What kind of games did you play?
Well, the ordinary games, you know, football and basketball and things like that.
What physical condition were you in by the time you were liberated?
very bad thing of skin and bones, and because we wouldn't get any nourishment, would we? Especially, I said, especially older people didn't have the strength to fight it.
Had you heard about the atomic bombs?
Later on, yeah, yeah.
But not whilst you were in Canada?
No, no.
So when the British Army came, what happened to you then?
Oh, the British Army just took over, you know, gave us all the necessary food and medical assistance. And they took us into different places, like, you know, houses, better accommodation and that. And we stayed there till I joined the army, the DLI.
When did you join the army?
1947.
And where did you join up?
In Mimeo, yeah.
Why did you decide to do that?
Well, it's my granddad, you know. He put me in there.
Which unit had your grandfather been in?
The DLI.
So you joined the DLI?
I joined the DLI, yeah.
Had you had any other ancestors who'd been in the army?
No, only my grandfather, like. You know.
What rank?
Because he was a bugle major. Because he lived after the Second World War, must have been the First World War, I think, 1940, 1918. And he moved out to Far East, and he was working out there, you know. So.
What job did he get?
He was somewhere in the court, something to do with the High Court, you know, he used to work in there.
Where was that?
Pardon?
Which High Court was that?
Oh, I can't remember, that's in Mamie or somewhere, you know.
So that's how he came to settle in Burma.
That's right, yeah.
Was it easy to get into the DLI?
Yes, because it's my grandfather, you know, no problem. Yeah.
And where were you trained?
In Mimeo, yeah.
What was the training like?
Well, usually 6 weeks course, you know, training. Usually necessary army training, you know.
How did you cope with that?
All right. And from there, I went to Singapore. Well, Malaysia, from the DLI, you know.
Were you still in the DLI?
Yeah.
Which battalion?
1st Battalion.
Was it peaceful when you got to Singapore?
Oh, yes, because that's when the emergency didn't start then. It started in 48, didn't it?
Yes.
Then the DLI came back home. And those who had more service to do joined the KYLI.
So you transferred from
from DLI to KYLI.
How did you feel about that?
All right.
Was there much difference between?
No, it's all a lot of infantry, like, you know. Because some of the lads didn't approve of it because they didn't like the cap badge and that, you know. Didn't refuse to wear it.
Did you transfer to the KYLI once the emergency started?
Yeah, well, what reason? The DLI done their time, you know, in the Far East, so they come back home. And those who were left had to do more time, transfer to the KYLI. Because they only just got out there from India, the KYLI.
Which battalion of the KYLI?
1st Battalion. 1st Battalion.
Do you remember the emergency starting in
Malaysia? Oh, yes, 1948, yeah. June 1948.
What do you remember about it starting?
Well, they killed a couple of planters, you know, on the road, ambushed them, like. And that's when it all started.
Did you then go into operation?
Oh, yeah, straight away, yeah. All detachments in different places, you know.
Where were you based?
I was based practically all over Kedah, you know. Different place, different towns. We had base at Bailing, Crow,
and you were going out on patrol?
On patrol from these bases. Like, we used to go 4 or 6 days patrolling the jungle.
What was it like on patrol? Can you describe it?
Well, it wasn't very nice, you know. Thick jungle and undergrowth, infested with leeches and all sorts of insects and that, you know.
Did you dread going out into the jungle?
Well, we did, yeah, but you had to go, innit?
Because I heard some people liked going in the jungle.
Oh, yes, yeah. Like Sergeant Bowman, you know, he loved it.
Did you?
To a point, yeah. But
what did you dislike about it most?
Well, the condition, you know, these the dense jungle and the condition we used to put up with, you know, when it rained, we used to get soaked and get dried.
Was the jungle like that in Burma, or was it completely different?
Well, probably the same, yeah. On the same basis.
Had you ever been in the jungle in Burma?
Oh, no. First time I see the jungle when I was in Malaya.
When you went out on patrol, in what kind of strength would you go out?
About a platoon, about 12 men. A strength of a platoon.
Was it a platoon or a section?
Yeah. Well, a platoon, then we split up and then it's a section, like, you know.
Did you have any contacts with the enemy?
Oh, yeah, we had a few, yeah.
Can you describe what happened?
Well, one day we were just walking through this undergrowth, like, and we spotted a few of them, like a camp, you know, because we used to have these trackers in front of us, the Iban trackers, and they sensed there was something in that area. And we spotted a little camp, you know. And we just opened fire and got a couple.
What kind of weapons were you armed with?
303s, yeah. Sten guns and Bren guns. Because they never used to stand and fight, you know. Once you got them, they used to just run.
So how many were killed?
Well, I think we got about two or three, you know, not many. Because you can't see them, really.
But did you collect the bodies?
Oh, yeah, we used to collect the bodies and take them out to the main for the police to check up their identity, like, you know, who they are.
Did they have uniforms?
Yeah, like a khaki uniform and a star in their hat, you know.
Did you get any weapons from them?
Yes. English, British weapons, you know, because he used to fight for the British.
And were they men or women?
Well, men and women, you know.
The ones you killed, I mean?
Yeah, oh, men, no, the ones we killed were men, yeah.
And how old were they?
Well, young blokes, born in their 20s. Something.
Were they Chinese or not?
Yeah, Chinese.
So how did you manage to get the bodies out of the jungle?
Well, we used to carry them on, climb up on poles, you know. So we used to take them out.
How easy or difficult was
that? Oh, very difficult, you know, with the undergrowth, and you're struggling with these bodies. I've got some photographs there, you know, I can show you.
Did you have to carry the pole yourself?
No, we used to take it in turns, you know, have a rest and give somebody else a chance.
Did they inflict any casualties on you?
Yeah, I think we lost Jim Whitehead, didn't it? The one we saw, yeah. He got shot right in the head, you know.
How did that happen?
Just bloody ambushed, you know. Because we can't see them, they can see us.
They ambushed you, did they?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened in the ambush?
Well, we're just walking along this track, like, and all of a sudden they opened up on us, you know. And this chap got it, shot through the head, like, you know. But we followed up, we just can't find them, they're gone.
So they got away without casualties?
Yeah.
Did you see anyone?
No, you can't, you know, so the undergrowth is so thick, you can only see movement, you know, in the bushes. And when we see movement, we just fired at the branches moving, so there must be somebody there, like, you know.
And any other incidents you remember?
No, that's about all, isn't it?
So was that the only occasion when you killed any?
When we used to go on patrol. Yeah, that's when we used to go on patrol. You might get lucky, you might get some, otherwise we don't get nothing. Yeah. We can be on patrol for, say, 5 or 6 days and don't come across anything.
And whereabouts did these two incidents occur? The ambush and the...
On the Siamese border, Kleinentown.
Where?
Kleinentown, on the Siamese border. Because that's where you used to come across from the Siam border into Malaysia and do their business and go back into the Siam border. You know.
What kind of acts were they carrying out?
Ambushes, you know, killing ordinary civilian people, you know, getting food or whatever they wanted. But mostly they were ambushing the military because for the arms and that, isn't it?
Did they capture any arms from your unit?
Oh, yeah. No, not from our unit. I remember they took a lot from the fort was ours, you know. They got ambushed. I think they lost about 15 blows, you know.
About how long were you doing these patrols for?
Oh, every week we used to go have about a week and then we used to come back, have a week, rest like and go out again, you know. It was continuous, you know. And we used to work on information from the police, you know. If anything's happening, we used to go out. Well, we was always out. We used to do about 6 or 7 months in the mainland and we used to go back to Penang for re-kitting and that, you know.
What did that consist of?
Well, new clothing and boots and bits and pieces. Have a good time in Penang.
What did that consist of?
Well, around the town, like, you know, dance halls and a bit of nightlife, you know, just enjoy ourselves.
Why did you need to re-kit?
Well, because equipment, it doesn't last all that long. It's only canvas, isn't it? But more or less, he's come back for a rest, you know, because I'd 6 months patrolling, it's got to get some sort of recreation. Yeah.
So you started in the middle of 48, and how long did it all go on for?
I came back in 1950 because I'd done me 3 years out there, you know. But I think it went on till about 1960.
So you did from 48 to 50 in
40,
the jungle?
47 to 50. Not all the time in the jungle, but that was me. That's all you had to do, 3 years, Far East service. Once you've done your 3 years, then you've got to come back home.
Did things improve against the guerrillas whilst you were there, or did they get...
Oh, yes. Oh, no, they're improving all the time, because we were getting the job done, you know, gradually.
Which other units do you remember there?
Oh, there was, after British Army, you know, there's Hussars, Coldstream Guards, SAS... All regiments, most of the British Army was out there.
Which company were you in?
I was in A Company.
And do you remember your platoon?
Yes, yeah.
Which number was that?
Number 3 platoon.
Do you remember who was in command?
Yeah, Lieutenant Sybil.
Sybil. But you were telling me that after the Coilers, you then volunteered for another regiment.
No, you don't. You come back home after your 3 year service. Then they put you in another regiment. I was in the DCLI in Bulford from 50 to 52. And from there, I volunteered. I know the Somersets had gone out to Malaysia. And I signed off another 2 years and went out there.
With the 1st Battalion of the Somerset Light
Infantry? Somerset Light Infantry, yeah.
So you were there from 52 to 54?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Because that sergeant in that clipping, we used to be together, you know, all the time.
Where were you based in Malaya?
HQ was at Kuala Lumpur. And then we was based in all over the Batarura, not Batagaja. I can't think of the names now, you know.
But it was around Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, around that area, yeah.
And were you going out in the jungle again?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Was that any different from the...
Well, it's a different area, yeah. Different area altogether, isn't it? Because I had more experience in the Kauris than what I did in the Somersets.
Why was that?
Because it all just started then, isn't it? You had more to do.
You mean the gorillas were less strong?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have any contacts at all with the Somersets?
Oh, yes, we did, yeah. I had two contacts.
Can you describe that?
Killed three. More or less ordinary patrols, you know. And we just come upon this little track, like, followed it, and then we saw the camp. We saw a couple of them sitting down having their meal, like, you know, just opened up. I think we wounded one, we couldn't find them, and we killed two.
And then the other contact?
The other contact was probably the same, you know, just before I could come home, right? We had another contact.
And which company were you in?
C Company.
And do you remember the platoon with them?
Pardon?
Do you remember the platoon with...
Yeah, number 8 platoon.
Were you with Mr. Durant?
That's right, yeah. He was in one section and I was in the other. He was with the officer section, like, you know, Lieutenant Hannah. I suppose Jim mentioned Hannah to you, didn't he?
Probably,
yeah.
Which did you like the best, with the Coilers or the S?
Well, about the similar, about the same, I reckon. No different.
Was there much difference between the areas, between Kedah and the Kuala Lumpur?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of difference in the areas, yeah. Because up in Kedah is more dense jungle, isn't it? But down further, down Kuala Lumpur, it's not all that dense.